Well, let's get ready to awaken me too. Hey, everybody, it's that time again. It's 4 o'clock, Memphis, Tennessee, on the almighty 990 KWAM. You're listening to Awaken Me Too, and I'm with my lovely co-host, Mrs. Nikki Carroll.
It's great to be here.
I am so excited to be with her anywhere. And you know what? We're both excited to be with you. We're so happy that you're listening. We want to remind you that Awaken Me Too is a program about real people with real stories serving a real God. And this week is part two of our interview that we began last week with Brother Al Nuccheroni and his lovely wife, Billy. He's come all the way from Jerusalem. Last week, we touched on his upbringing and his salvation experience at the Billy Graham Crusade, becoming a missionary, praying for a wife, and getting the best for him that God wanted to give. This week, we're going to talk a little bit about what led Al to Israel and to pastor a church and what's going on over there. So without further ado, Al, welcome to Awaken Me Too.
Good to be here.
And I want to say to you that I think every man has built into them some type of view of a woman that they'd like to have as a wife. And I think it's beautiful. If anyone hasn't heard the first interview, they need to go back and listen because it was really amazing. And they need to catch up and see what happened in your early life.
Yes, you said it was not good for man to be alone. Mm-hmm. This is what the Bible says.
That's right.
And the Bible also says he who finds a wife finds a good thing. Mm-hmm. And we know Billy and she's a good thing. And for those who want to go back and listen to last week's episode, it's a wonderful episode. You need to go back and do that. You can go to jesushelps.me. Al, let me ask you a question. You and Billy were on the mission field. You went to Milan, Italy. How long were you over there with each other?
In Milan, 12 years.
12 years.
Yeah.
And were you called to a church over there?
Well, I was called to do church planting.
Okay.
So we learned Italian in Florence, Italy for a year. Billy was very good. She knew Spanish and picked it up easy. I struggled a little bit. Eventually, I got the language and we started to preach, go door to door, pray. And then we started a church. And then I was also doing at night an English church called Milan Bible Church.
And did you start that, or were you just partnering with somebody?
No, that had been there. Our church was called Chiesa Evangelica, Evangelical Church of Corsolodi. We were able to start it. We met in our apartments at the beginning, and then a rented facility, then we bought a facility. So it's still going. I don't know how many people, a few hundred people now.
Wow, after all these years.
Yeah.
Praise God, yeah.
So then we went on to Vienna, Austria. That was an interesting change.
How did that happen? Was it relationships or the Lord's leading?
Well, the Lord's leading. Now, we loved Italy so much. Can't beat the food, can't beat the people, couldn't beat the ministry. So I think it all goes back to a prayer vision, ultimately speaking, because when I was in seminary, I prayed with a bunch of guys. You know, we prayed for the world, all countries of the world. We prayed over a world map, and many of us went on different areas of the world, and I went on to Italy. That was the start. Then when we got to Italy, we did a lot of open-air work in the city of Milan with the help of Corky Davy at Bristol, England.
Now, for those who don't know what open-air means, what is that?
Open-air is preaching the Lord Jesus outside.
Okay.
Basically, but for us, not big crusade, but on the street, with music, with a sketchboard. We're not threatening when we have a paintbrush in hand. Sometimes they get threatened by these open-air preachers to shout things, but we have a sketchboard. Sometimes we use music.
And you sketch?
No.
Okay.
I can sketch basic stuff. I'm not artistic like my grandfather. That's how we do it. We learn from Corky Davy. He trained our team in Italy, so we would go out in front of the cathedral and preach, get hundreds of people. And then we got called to Vienna. Corky also came and trained us as well. And her brother was working in Vienna. We visited the church once, and they were looking for a pastor, like a missionary pastor. They couldn't pay a pastor as such. And of course, we've been involved in open-air work since our time in Rome, open-air campaigners. And Corky Davy, he invited us to a big conference called Love Europe in Offenburg, Germany, sponsored by Operation Mobilization. And there we heard George Verwer speak and Graham Kendrick, he came up in that conference with Shine Jesus Shine.
Wow.
The first time he sang that.
Really?
And they had teams that were going to go into Eastern Europe for the first time. Hmm. And so we were there at the conference, plus Harvest. Do you remember Harvest?
Yes. Uh-huh.
They were powerful.
Right. Two guys, right?
Well, yeah, two guys.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And they were talking about sacrificing everything to serve the gospel. They went around in a dilapidated VW to have money for missions. It was wonderful. So we went to two of the conferences. The theme of Love Europe was love the cities, reach the cities of Europe. Number two, reach the Muslims who come to Europe. Okay? And then reach into Eastern Europe. At the time, it was closed. So those were the three things. And I began to pray that, God, I want to pray we can reach the cities of Europe, we can reach Muslims, and that we can reach into Eastern Europe. Now, we were in Milan at the time, but in the providence of God, I believe God moved us to Vienna, which then became the center of Europe, if you include Eastern Europe. And we started Reach the City with open air campaigners in Vienna, and it reached out to other cities as well. And then we were able to minister in Poland, Slovakia, Hungary. So we're reaching into Eastern Europe through our church. And then we had Muslims come to our church. We had 80 Muslims from Iran come to our church and ask, how can I become a Christian? And we baptized 80 Iranian Muslims.
Wow.
It was at the Danube River. So we have these 20 Muslims in a row. The last guy looked like Osama bin Laden.
Wow.
And he said, I want Jesus.
Wow. Awesome.
And I said, I'm ready to go to heaven right now when I saw that. And it continued. In fact, we were in Vienna 2 months ago, saw one of the leaders. He's continuing to serve Jesus, goes back to Iran to preach. I think that's how we got to Vienna, and God fulfilled that vision. We got called by the church there for 14 years, reaching the city, reaching Eastern Europe, and reaching Muslims. Now, how we get to Israel.
Yes. How does that happen?
Okay. How does that happen? I'm glad you asked that question. So we're very happy in Vienna. I was happy in Italy. We're both happy. It's difficult to change churches, to change countries. But we were there, and we were, in a sense, in the providence of God for our family, because there was a Christian school in Vienna that our kids could go to. Two of them went to Italian schools. And then when we moved to Vienna, Allison, our last one, was born. So after a few years at Austrian schools, we had that opportunity to go to the Christian school. So that was good for the family. And then after 14 years, I took a trip to Israel to learn how to lead groups from Austria. And we took the tour. And then at the end of the tour, I visited some churches. I visited Jerusalem Baptist Church. It so happened that one of my friends from Italy was preaching there. He had been reaching Jews in Rome from Russia. And then God led him to Israel. He was preaching at the Jerusalem Baptist Church. So at the end of the service, he calls me up. He said, Al, what are you doing? How can we pray for you? Tell us about Vienna. So I shared about the church and the Muslims and all that. And at the end of the service, the deacon, Deacon Bruce, comes up to me, says, Al, you look Jewish, okay? Like these Israelis. You'd be a good pastor here.
Hmm.
I said, no. I'm very happy in Vienna. Hmm. Jerusalem is a nice place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live there. So I left it at that. I went back, and then the Lord started working. He was calling me and calling me. Then God began to close the door in Vienna. I didn't want to leave. I was so attached to the church in the city, but the Lord had his way. We went on sabbatical, which helped to kind of refocus. And within a year and a half, the Lord changed direction, and we went to Israel, December of 2007.
Let me ask you something, Al. When you say the Lord closes doors and redirects and pivots, I know that some people are out there wondering what that looks like. How does he do that? We know because we've been in full-time ministry for a long time.
Yeah.
Describe as best you can the Lord closing a door and opening up another one.
Well, there were some things that God showed us. It was time to leave.
Right.
Some rejections. Jesus was rejected. Some betrayals.
Mm.
It was a difficult time. My daughter really loved Vienna. She didn't want to leave. But God took care of her, because even though we had to leave, She found another great school in Jerusalem, so that was good. I can't go into a lot of specifics, but it was definitely a closed door, and it was like Paul in Acts chapter 16, the Macedonian call. He wanted to preach in Asia Minor, but the Holy Spirit said no. And then he meets the man from Macedonia.
Right.
So I think it was sort of like that. God closed the door, and there was the invitation. You know, my pastor always said, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman.
Yes.
He goes where he's wanted. So we had this open invitation. They wanted us in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And so we felt that the Holy Spirit, it was something that was compelling to us. And so step by step, by faith, we came and they accepted us. And then we switched mission boards to Fellowship of Christian Athletes. So we did have a dual ministry, pastor the church and do sport ministry, which was good for Israel.
Okay. Were you doing any of that in Vienna? Any of the FCA?
Not much sports. Well, I was doing pastoring and open air evangelism. Now, you can't really do that a lot in Israel. There's so much opposition. But if you work through sports, and we were able to get a lot of great former pro athletes. Some were evangelists, and we did seminars and clinics and preached the gospel, especially in Bethlehem. We had every year 50 professions of faith.
That's amazing.
I think we can totally understand what you are talking about, how the Holy Spirit will close one door and open another. Sometimes things get a little tough.
They do.
And he allows that to happen. And your ministry with Billy is so unique in being called to Israel. Sometimes someone out there, all of a sudden they have an open door and they have a ministry opportunity and they're not sure it's a ministry opportunity or that they're supposed to go through that door. What would you say to someone like that?
Well, sometimes you have to step out by faith, you know. I mean, even, okay, I don't know which door to take. I'm going to go there. So God could close the door. You got to keep moving. The Apostle Paul was moving, right? What's that expression about driving a car? You can't change the direction unless you put in gear and go.
You have to be moving.
So you got to go. You got to keep serving Jesus. And then you see, yes, no, this opportunity here, that opportunity there. And you have to learn to accept rejection. Rejection is God's direction, right? So it's just like dating a girl. You try this, try that. No, no, no. Finally, yes. And so you take that as the Lord. And then you have the peace. Definitely, we went by faith. And we lost a little support, but then picked up more support. They had been praying for a pastor in Jerusalem. And so God opened the door. It was a smaller church than our church in Vienna, but that didn't matter to me. It was a great place to be. And then God, you know, confirmed his direction, met some wonderful people. We've had a great experience there in Jerusalem.
How many years ago was that you went to Jerusalem?
We've been there for almost 14 years.
And so you moved there, you set up residence.
We went to the States for a year and we moved there. I love books, and unfortunately, I couldn't take all my books so I left around 1,000 books in Vienna. I only brought 30 books, but they had a library there in Jerusalem. In fact, the whole country is a library. You don't have to have books. The land is a library, so it's fine. And then we try to learn Hebrew. I studied biblical Hebrew, but learning a language at our age is not easy. She's better than me, and I studied Hebrew to read. Speak it is another thing, but everyone speaks English there. You learn as much as you can, but then you get along, so it's fine.
Al, tell us what a normal day looks like for you and Billy in Jerusalem.
Okay, pre-COVID.
Well, now tell us during the pandemic what a normal day is, because it's rough over there.
The pandemic days, well, pre-pandemic, get up and pray, read, visit, go out. And we're very flexible. I'm not a U.S. pastor. I have to go to the office. So we have our meetings like Sunday, Wednesday. Billy has a Bible study for women. We have youth group and we have Friday Bible study. So my preparation, I don't like to sit in an office. So I go to a coffee shop, read. I don't like to spend a lot of money. They have coffee shops, $1.50 for a coffee or a sweet roll, whatever. So you can read and be talking to people because they come your way. So that's a good opportunity. Now, COVID shut us down. We couldn't go, 300 yards or meters of our home, except for supermarket and pharmacy. And you can go for a bike ride. I have an electric bike. Okay, I love that electric bike. You get exercise, so that's fun. So we were able to do that, but I'm in the house, and I wrote my last book during COVID. That's why it's a little longer, prayer and things like that. Now, fortunately, we had our grandson there because my daughter, Emily, had a consulting job, so she hired mom as the babysitter. I say hired because she paid her.
Mom.
Yeah, and
that's awesome.
Yeah. He was so much fun to be with, and Billy loved it so much. So she would do that. But at night, we ended around 6, and then we would eat some dinner, very light. Then we would play Settlers of Catan. You ever play that?
No.
Wonderful game. And then we would watch some television. It really brought us together in one sense. I mean, I was a little bored, but not bored with her, but
of course.
This routine, having to stay in. And sometimes I'm on the balcony. Remember you read about the Italians when they were in isolation? Some opera singers would get on the balcony during COVID and sing opera songs.
Right.
So I got up in the balcony, sang Messiah, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Ah, it's awesome.
I don't know if everybody heard me, but I just did it anyway. So that was our basic routine. Now, we're a little freer now. We don't have so many restrictions. Now, the problem is tourism, and I feel bad. We have to pray for Israel that they open up tourism.
Yes.
Because the old city suffers, Bethlehem suffers.
Oh, I can imagine the whole area suffers.
Everybody's.
Greatly, yeah. And so, obviously, when you were in lockdown, you just had to love on your wife
and
stay close to the Lord and study. Yeah. But then as you were able to go back to church, did you see people come?
Yeah, we met. Nobody else in Jerusalem met but our church.
Wow.
Tell us about that.
Well, I'm not against Zoom, but I don't believe in a Zoom church.
Thank you.
As such, we had a little Bible study, but we have to meet. The Bible says, don't forsake.
Right.
Bible says, it was good when they said, let's go into the house of the Lord.
Amen.
So by hook or by crook, we met inside, outside. There were two Sundays, the Baptist house completely closed. And so, okay, we'll go to the Mount of Olives. We had a service up there. Then we met in front of a lady's home, our 102-year-old sister. And then when we were inside, sometimes they said, you can only meet in groups of 5 with plastic in between. So what did that mean? Well, I guess they meant plastic sheets.
Yeah.
I said,
like shower curtains or something?
I'll use plastic chairs.
Perfect.
Just says plastic. So we put plastic chairs between people. And I'll give it a positive. One time the police came and I said, oh no, they're going to check us. Sir, can I help you? Yes. May I use your men's room, please? Okay, that was good. But one Sunday, a girl came, fully garbed, face mask, shield, gloves. She sat through the service. I said, can I help you? Why did you come? She said, well, I want to come to know Jesus. I'm Jewish.
Wow.
So she prayed with me, and she accepted the Lord right there. And she came back. She lives an hour. So sometimes she couldn't come because of COVID or problems. But
wow.
She's a wonderful girl. And she taught us a song, the song, Nothing Ever Can, Nothing Ever Will.
Mm-hmm.
And you know that if she loved that song, she really knew the Lord. So that was one benefit. Then we got some other people who were in other churches, but they didn't meet and came to our church. And then a lady whose husband died, she decided to take over the refreshments. We had little refreshments afterwards. Now we have a whole meal, like salads, pizza, things. So everyone sticks around. They enjoy the fellowship. We have a lot of older people, and they really enjoy that. So there's been blessing. And we have a lot of UN people now. We have around 10 Africans from UN nations.
Wow. Believers.
Yeah, believers.
Yeah.
But from Malawi, Ghana, Zimbabwe, and they love Jesus.
Praise God.
And we had the 5 ladies in their African garb singing, you know, and it was really wonderful. Then we had some baptisms. We went out to the Jordan River, some of the UN people. Then one lady who works with the UN from Haiti said, my husband's coming from Haiti. Can you baptize him and my son? I said, sure. So I go pick him up. This was like 2 months ago. And I said to the man, I'm sorry about the assassination of your president in Haiti. He says, yeah, I knew him. I ran against him as president.
Wow.
So we baptized him. I was telling this group there at the baptism site from Ethiopia, this man may be the next president of Haiti. a testimony for Jesus. And they were singing, and it was a wonderful testimony.
Wow, that's awesome, Al. Are you sensing more of an openness because of COVID? Or do you have a sense that people are maybe questioning the things that they thought were safe, the things that they were basing their lives on, and the privileges and the rights that they have being stripped away? Has that caused people to wonder what life's all about? And
well, I think it does. I mean, one of my neighbors said, I'm really afraid. So there's the fear factor. And people are wondering what's going on. I think that girl was like searching for answers who came to us, and then others are doing more thinking, because a lot of people are mad. We're all kind of mad at the government or something, that we don't like the mask type right. of thing. It sometimes is negative because people turn into enforcers of the law. Why aren't you wearing your mask above your nose? You know, right. So it can cause problems. The church was no problem. We have a free policy. If you want to wear a mask, you can. If you're vaccinated, okay, not, that's okay. But we wanted to make people feel accepted. So I think that we project this atmosphere of love and acceptance, which some places don't, you know.
Yeah. Al, how can somebody give to your ministry if they would like to? How can people get a hold of you?
We have a website with the church, www.JerusalemBaptistChurch.org.
Okay.
And then we work with FCA too, so www.FCA.org. More information is on JerusalemBaptistChurch.org, but our ministry, overall ministry, is FCA.org. Because they can email me. I'm not opposed to email. I have nothing to hide.
Okay, how about I email you?
Very simple. Part of my last name, Nucciaro, N-U-C-C-I-A-R-O, at AOL.com, which means I'm of another generation. If you have AOL,
we
that means
too.
You're of another generation.
We have AOL accounts.
Yeah. So that's how they can reach us. I'm the only Al Nucciarone in the world.
We can't wait for everything to open up again. Nikki and I have wanted to come over there and spend not just 10 or 12 days, but a few months with you because we love Israel. We were over there in 2014. It was a life-changing experience. We want to come to your church. We want to hang with the Nucciarones. After this thing opens up, everybody listening is going to want to come and hang with the Nucciarones as well. Nikki, do you have any closing thoughts?
I just want to say it's been wonderful to see you both again, and we love you so much, and we pray the best for you, that the Lord will bless you while you're in Jerusalem.
Thank you.
We pray for Jerusalem all the time. It's one of our favorite places we've ever been.
Yeah.
Amen.
We do have some tours sometime. You can just write me when it is or something. When things open up, we run them very, I don't use the word cheap, but just economical tours. We stay in Bethlehem.
And I love the idea of going with you, because you take people places that they're not going to see on the regular tours.
On a regular tour.
I would suggest that if someone wants to go over to Israel, they do sign up and go on a tour with you.
Yes.
Yeah, we can't wait to do that. And actually, we're going to be posting some of this information on JesusHelps.me. Again, anybody wants to listen to episode number one that we did with Al last week, go to JesusHelps.me. And if you've got any questions, if you want to know more about going to Israel, hooking up with Al and Billy, write info@JesusHelps.me or call 1-855-775-3787.
We have a few books that you would be interested in. Talk about Israel, our life experiences there, and some prophetic book. I don't prophesy, but The Second Coming of Jesus, prophecies from the Bible, that can be purchased through lulu.com, L-U-L-U.com. Just search Nucciarone, and you'll find the four books there.
Awesome.
And a cookbook, too. Don't forget the cookbook done by the women of the church.
Awesome. Al, thank you so much for being with us. Billy, thank you for being here as well. Nikki, thank you so much for being my wonderful co-host and co-pilot over 40 plus years. And everyone listening, we love you. We thank you for listening. If anyone needs some hope, remember that God is the God of hope. He sent his son Jesus to die for us, to save us, to give us peace, purpose, and a direction in life. Living for him is the only way to go. And remember this, as long as Jesus lives, there is hope. Thank you for being here. God bless. We'll see you next week.
There is hope.
This is a Valley of the Whale production.